Camelot. I didn't see King Arthur or Sir Lancelot, but there was a wonderful presence of God in the meetings, an awesome play right in the forest there. And what Pastor Steve didn't tell you is we both ran over the same snake. Coming home, I saw it first, and then he got it. Didn't think I finished the job very well, so he ran over it again. And it was an accident, that's right. I didn't mean to hit it. So praise God. What a wonderful time we have had this morning already. A wonderful time of in God, you know, just in the worship time. Things that occurred to me was that God is more. God is more than we have known of Him and experienced of Him, and God has more for us than we have known and experienced of Him to date. I only have a short word for you today, so it'll be an early lunch. Pay attention, because you know we're not going to keep you here long. Just so you know. But interestingly, you know, as I've shared with you before, Oral Roberts was instrumental in restoring the truth to Christianity that God is good, and that He's good all the time, and He's good all the time to everybody. And that made some people angry. They didn't really want to agree with him that God was going to be good. Even though once you start to open your Bible and read it, you see all through that God is good. And he used to tell people that God wanted to do them good today, and that they could expect a miracle today. And that brought a great truth back to the body, and I'm sure great experiences in God for the people under Oral Roberts' ministry. And now we've kind of moved on a bit. And interestingly, I was reading one of Bill Johnson's books and talking about the kingdom of God. And he was saying, if you had to say one thing in a nutshell about the kingdom of God, he said, it's good. God is good. And so I want to talk a bit about the goodness of God today. You know, sometimes I talked about Oral Roberts saying that you could expect a miracle. And, you know, we abuse the word miracle. You know, we might say someone took a miracle catch, or they did something that was, you know, miraculous. And that kind of does a couple of things, but mainly it puts it in the realm of something that's extraordinary or unattainable. And really, that's the natural, in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, that's the natural state, is the miraculous. It's no stretch at all for God to do something that we don't understand, or that's outside of our natural ability. He's well able to do those things. And God isn't complicated. You know, He demonstrated His love for us at the cross of Calvary. But that wasn't a finishing point. That was a doorway that opened for God to express His love to us in new ways, and he's wanting to do that in our lives today. He's wanting to demonstrate His love for us, and I want to talk about some of the ways that He's wanting to do that. I want you to look. We see in Romans chapter 2 and the second part of verse 4. That the goodness of God actually leads us to repentance. So even when we're far away from God, He's drawing us by His goodness to Him, to that place of repentance, where we turn from where we've been, but not only we turn from where we've been, but we turn towards God and all of the possibility that He has for us to live a new life. I want you to turn, if you have your Bible, please turn with me to John 10 and verse 10. And I know this will be a very familiar passage of Scripture for many of you here today. But it's good to actually look at it, to read it, to remind yourselves of it. John 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." So we identify that the one behind the thief coming to steal, kill and destroy is the devil. And I am come, so Jesus is saying, "I am come that the people, they may have life and they might have it more abundantly." And I wrote some notes about the abundant life. You know, the Amplified Bible says it this way. It says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have and enjoy life." I'm come that you might have and enjoy life. That was Jesus' purpose and goal, that we might have and enjoy life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And that word abundantly, if we look to the Greek word parousos, talking about abundance, is superabundance. It's excessive. It's overflowing, surplus, over and above, profuse. It can go on and on. But you get the idea. Superabundance, overflowing. That's what God wants to do. He doesn't, and he's not missing you out today. You know, there are no orphans in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. He is interested in you. He knows you. He knows right where you are. He knows right what you need today. And he's wanting to bring you life excessively, overabundantly, surplus, more than enough in every area of life. Now, if we look at Job, and this always was the case. You know, Job, the scholars tell us, is an ancient book, very old. And Job in chapter 36 and verse 11. Job 36 verse 11 says, if you obey and serve him being God, so if you obey and serve God, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. You know, God has good things for you. He has some great things that he wants to show you, some great things that he wants to do in you, some great things that he wants to do for you. I just want to talk about some things today. I'm going to bring in, interestingly, Pastor Steve took my message about money. But I want to go over some of that territory very shortly, but maybe while we're in the Old Testament, right next to Psalms, if you want to look at Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. And, you know, God's goodness isn't just in money. In fact, that is really a very small part of it, but it does extend to money. Your lack and debt and not enough is not in God's vocabulary. He has nothing to do with that. He's wanting to bring abundance in that area, as in every area of life, whether it be love, whether it be peace, whether it be joy, whether it be health, all part of the package. The package is not deficient in some way. You know, the engine doesn't work, but you can't, you know, it works well, but you can't wind the wind. That wouldn't work. You know, no good having a car where you can't wind the windows down. So God's package is a total package. But we see here in Psalm 112, it says, this is a psalm of David. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the one that fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." That is a good promise. I claim it often. I say, wealth and riches are in my house. Thank you for it, Father. That's part of his promise to me. And I'm ready to enjoy that. Now, for some people, you know, that has to come with a certain amount of wisdom. And we'll look at a God's plan for us in money. You look at a life like say, Michael Jackson, where he had plenty of money, but it didn't result in a prosperous life. So there is more to this than just, you know, having a great large balance in your bank account. So I want you to look to Matthew, very similar, the same sort of area where Pastor Steve was. Matthew chapter 6, or we're getting to the same area. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 first. Matthew 6 and 24, taken from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money, or the world system of money." Now, I'm trained in the world system of money. For about 30 years, I know I don't look that old, but about 30 years of training in the world system of money. Now, if I could walk alongside, say, fellows like Ben and Tim, I could mentor them and train them such that they would have lots of money throughout their life, because I know the principles of the world system of money. And at various times, I've made lots of money in that system. Not because I'm anything great, just because I applied what I'd been taught about it. And so, but that actually wouldn't be right for me to do that, because in the kingdom of God, there actually are a whole different way of approaching money. And we're going to see that. Not to say there's not some wisdom involved, but we want to look to see what God has to say about these things. And so I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 19 to start with. Same area really where Pastor Steve was. Matthew 19 verses 16 to 21. And this is the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, says, "Behold, one came and said unto him being Jesus, 'Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?' And he said to him," Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." And the rich young ruler said to him, "Which?" And Jesus said, "You shall do no murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honour your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself." The young man said to Jesus, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And Jesus said to him, "If you will be perfect, go, sell that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Isn't that what Pastor Steve was just talking about? You'll have some treasure in heaven. Now, it's not that Jesus wanted to create another poor person. Because looking at this from a natural standpoint, if this guy goes and sells everything he's got and gives it to the... Now he joins the ranks of the poor, because he now has nothing. And this really reminded me of the story of part of the testimony of Norval Hayes. Some of you might have heard of Norval Hayes. Norval, very big in the 80s and 90s. And Norval's father was quite poor. He was a share farmer. And he trained Norval from just about Lachlan's age, you know, Lachlan about 7, 8 years old, to work from sunup to sundown. We put probably him in jail today for doing this sort of thing. But he trained him to be a worker. He could work in fields, peanut fields, corn fields, from morning till night. And Norval said, "That set me up to have lots of money." Because when he left school and started to work... that's all he knew, was if you're going to work, you start it when the sun comes up and you finish when the sun goes down. And of course, his area was always the tidiest of everyone's area. He always did more volume of work and business than anyone else did. And so, you know, particularly in America, bosses not silly. They know what side their bread's buttered on. So they would keep giving him promotions and more money and more raises and so on. And back, you know, late 60s or maybe early 70s, he was making $5,000 a week. That would be fairly serious money today. But think back, you know, he was making more than $1 million a year. Really just because he'd been taught about hard work. But God actually had to do and he said that drove him. Really the driving force of his life was to, you know, he was not satisfied with what he had. He just had to keep making the next dollar, the next dollar, the next dollar. And God had to come to him by the Holy Spirit and gave him a vision about that area of his life, which changed his attitude and his focus. And so we have to be mindful that in the kingdom of heaven there may be a little different perspective. God had some business that he wanted done here. He had some poor people that he wanted looked after. And so this guy was going to sell. But what he forgot was that verse back in Job where he said, if you obey me, do my works, you'll have prosperity and have pleasures all of your days. He was just looking at, you know, all of my great work that I've built up, all of the great assets and so on are going to be gone. And that's really, and God was sort of wanting to move that out of his life and say, well, now I am going to be the builder in this life. And it's going to be better than anything that you've ever had before. And that's what God is saying to you today. You might have created some circumstances. They might even be quite good. But God wants to be the builder of the circumstances of your life. He doesn't want you in your own natural strength and ability. That's a Heidi Baker. Heidi came from a wealthy family. Heidi was well off, and she was always an organizer. I remember her testimony is, in preschool, she would line all the other kids up and have them doing what she wanted. She came from wealthy circumstances. She's probably used to being top dog. And she had it nailed down. She would say, well, you do this, you do that, you do that. In her own strength, they built a handful of churches in nearly 20 years. And then God moved and changed all that and built hundreds of churches? Thousands of churches. Once God got involved and became the builder in Heidi's life, look out. So much more than what she could achieve. God is saying that to you today. He has more for you, and he is more. He wants to be more to you, and he has more for you than you've ever known before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That is not quite the finish. I know I said I was going to be short. Can you bear with me a bit longer? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. So, verse 22. When the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful. He had great possessions. And no doubt I can see this guy. You know, when you have great possessions, you're a little bit proud what you've done. I know, because I've been in that place where I've done things and seen an opportunity and went out and invested and made lots of money. And you get a bit, you know, your chest sticks out further. You stand taller. You know, you're a little bit proud about this. But all that was going to change in this guy's life if he did what Jesus said. That was going to move out. But God wanted to build more. He just wanted to be, this was a self-righteous guy. He'd kept all the commandments from his youth, but God had more for him. Then said Jesus to his disciples, truly I say to you, a rich man, and I believe he's talking really here of someone who has come up this path and trusts in riches. Because we've seen he has no problem with wealth and riches being at our house. In fact, he expects that. If we walk with him, he expects that we have wealth and riches at our house. That's it. That's his expectation. Not because of us, but because of him. That's what he wants to do for us. He wants to bring us wealth and riches into our lives. The rich man could hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the disciples, they were astonished about this. They thought if you had money, that meant God's favor was on you, that you were doing everything right with you. That was why you had the money. And that expectation kind of did come from the word. That was a reasonable expectation that they should have. But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You may say, well, this morning Ross just doesn't know my circumstances. He just doesn't know me. He's saying all these wonderful things about what's going to do in me and for me, but he just doesn't know me. You might think you've been a rascal for too long. And you might have been a rascal for a long time. But God is able to change that. He's able to take the rascal out and by his spirit and power and presence bring righteousness and right living to you. God's able to do that. I want you to look, as I'm starting to finish up, I want you to look in Exodus, quite an astonishing thing that the nation of Israel did not do, really. Exodus 19, verse 1 to 9, this is, just to paint the picture, they've come out of Egypt, they got to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's chased them, God blew his nose, it says, by a blast of his nostril, he opened the Red Sea, and they crossed, and then the Pharaoh tried to follow, and the sea came in over him, and so all the army of Egypt was defeated and destroyed there, and they've come into the promised land, or toward the promised land, they're starting to move towards it. They've already defeated some enemies. It says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness at Sinai. It says, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Interesting that in Revelation he talks about us being a kingdom of priests. You wanting us to be a kingdom of priests? You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. It says, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. So, just to summarize, God said, you know, I'm going to tell you some things I want you to do. And the people have said, yep, we're with the program, we're going to do it. And Moses has gone back to the Lord to tell him that. The Lord said to Moses, lo, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. Interesting, isn't it? The people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So what was in God's mind is he was going to speak, all the people were going to hear him speak, and that was going to put some strength in their life that had an eternal bearing. So have you got that in your mind? God was going to speak, the people were going to do whatever he said, and as God spoke, he said he was going to, they would hear his voice and that would build something into their lives of strength. Then we come down to verses 16 to 19. It says, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. So what you would expect would happen when God showed up is happening. It is very dramatic. There are astonishing things happening in their midst. This is like a volcano and an earthquake and all, a bunch of things rolled into one thing. So God is showing up on the scene. And the people are starting to think, what have we got into here? They're a little bit afraid of this God now. And we see later on, they actually built a cow out of gold and they called that God. Why? Because they could control that God. They made that God. They could control everything about that God. They were happy with that. They didn't want this God that was astonishing and amazing and powerful. They really rejected him at that point. Very sad. You know, God wants to show himself strong in your life. Don't be afraid. Be willing to move on with him, to go on with him, and to embrace and receive everything that he has for you. It's really a tragic story, don't you think? It's like a Greek tragedy. There already is a Greek tragedy actually happening in Greece at the moment. But it's worse even than that Greek tragedy. This is a terrible tragedy. So we see over in the next, I think it's in the next chapter, chapter 20, verses 18 to 21, says, all the people saw the thunderings. So this is Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. All the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. Was that the plan? No, that was not the plan. The plan was that they stay right there and hear God's voice for themselves. You can hear God's voice for yourself, and it would make a difference to the circumstances that you're shaping up to, that you want changed in your life. So verse 19 says, they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we'll hear, but don't let God speak with us, lest we die. Now, did they have any basis for that? No. All God has ever spoken is goodness and wants to prosper you and do you good. God wouldn't have hurt them. He had no idea of hurting them. I mean, if it was going to hurt Moses, if it was going to hurt them, it was going to hurt Moses. But they said, no, Moses, you go, that's your thing. Don't let you be like that in your life. Don't be distracted and don't be fearful. Moses said to the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. So that would have been some strength, wouldn't it, in their life? They would have, you know, that they would have had an encounter with God that changed them. And God is desiring that we have an encounter with him that changes us for good. An encounter with the kingdom of heaven. Heaven on earth. He wants his, all that he is and all that he has to show up in our lives so that we would have days of heaven on earth. And in verse 21, the saddest thing, one of the saddest verses of the Bible, the people stood far off and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. So let's not be like those people. Let's be the ones who, we're like Moses. We're going to draw near. We're going to take the time. And sometimes, you know, coming to God, this is a very unusual event of world history. God coming to Mount Sinai. I really want to see the DVD or whatever God has in heaven for us to see of this event. You know, there's some things I want to see. Creation is one. I want to see the DVD of creation. I want to see the DVD of this event. But sometimes today, you know, God makes us kind of work a little bit and do things his way. He wants us to seek him out and to woo him and really seek his face and his presence. And I want to look at, just in finishing, a couple of verses, Romans 8:14. I think I may actually. I've gone much longer than I thought I would. It's nearly lunchtime. Romans 8 and verse 14. I've gone too far. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, what was their problem? Fear. They said, we don't want anything to do with this God. There's thunder and smoke and earthquakes and lightning and trumpets. There's too much power for us. We want something we can control. But as we're born again today and the Holy Spirit's resident within us, don't have a spirit that's fearful. Have a spirit of adoption of sons and daughters. We've not received a spirit of bondage, but the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. All that he has is ours. He's wanting to bring all that he has into bear in our life. All the love, all the joy, all the peace, all the provision, everything, all the leading, the guidance, the wisdom, the understanding he's wanting to be to us. I just want to finish with one last verse. 3 John verse 2. I'm nearly there. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So I want to look at the part that we have to play. You know, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that's, if you like, that's for most of us, that's kind of the driving seat of our life. And you know, we are the ones who determine whether the circumstances of our life are dictated by Satan, whether they're dictated by us, like the rich young ruler, or whether they're dictated by God. We have the power to make that choice. And we need to apply ourselves to make sure we are the ones whose soul prospers in God. We are the ones who can dictate whether we give God attention, whether we seek him, whether we incline our ear to hear what he's saying to us, whether we put ourselves in position to receive. You know, the people up at the camp, they received from God. Many heard from God and so on, and they put themselves in position. And you're here today putting yourself in position. But there's going to be a whole lot of minutes and seconds and events and circumstances before you're back here next week. And so the opportunity is, when we go out the door, let's not be one who gives place to the devil. Let's not be ones who just return like the rich young ruler to the pride of our own way of doing things, but let's be one who is inclined to hear what God has for us, inclined to seek out what he has for us, and walk in that high standard of life that he has for us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to finish there. Thank you. I want to really thank you for being a very good group to minister to. You've been really attentive, and I appreciate that. Let's be attentive to God too. Let's attend to him this week. And Hayden's taught us this morning, you know, how to minister to the Lord and spend time in his presence. And you've seen how we can go through the word and see what God is saying to us. And then there's prayer, spending time praying, seeking God in prayer, praying the word over your life, declaring God's word over your life. Confess, you know, to confess the word, confess is a word that homologio means say the same. Say the same thing over your life that God is saying, that I've said. Declare, say, I am prosperous. Wealth and riches are in my house. Health and wholeness are mine. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed and whole. Declare those things over your life, not just in church, throughout your week. And God has great things. God is more, and God has more. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to pass over.
Hallelujah. We are going to have communion, and the stewards are going to come in.